I love the colorful clothes you wear and the way the sunlight plays upon her hair. I hear the sound of a gentle mood on the wind that lifts her perfume through the air.
I'm picking up good vibrations. She's giving me the excitations. Hello, I'm Solazar, and welcome to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation, right here on Radio Monterey. Now, quantum physics tells us that we are all energy vibrating at different frequencies, but in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the owner-operator of Radio Monterey, bringing you empowered programming for the open mind. And it's also the promoter-producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair, coming to the Monterey Fairgrounds May 2nd and 3rd. May Day, Beltane, and so many other things worth being celebrated. Now, for those of you who are used to getting a postcard in the mail, which turns as your reminder, there will be no mail postcards. So if you want to get a $2 off certificate, you're going to have to sign up for the Rhoda email list so that we can send them out to you by email. Go to the rhodapsychicfair.com and sign up right there. Now, today is the 16th. How many of you know what happens on the 16th of March? At 7:54 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. Well, Pluto, representing enriched, entrenched power, and Uranus, representing violent rebellion or revolution, complete the seventh of seven squares. They've been going through this process since 2012, actually June 24th, 2012. And you got to remember that this is creating upheaval all around the world. We've been going through this process. So think back for the last 3 years. Think back of your life. Think back of the world's life around us, of all the upheaval and turmoil. And this Uranus-Pluto square is significant in so many different ways. Because really, what we're dealing with is the psychological power of the psychic power of change. Pluto is the lord of karma and dharma, death and rebirth, transformation. Uranus, of course, is change, invention, revolution, and higher awareness. You've got the two of these coming together. And the interesting part is that Uranus is in Aries. So if you are in Aries, you're feeling the impact even more so than others. And I've got to tell you, as an Aries, my life has been turned upside down, inside out, and sideways in the last 3 years. And then you have Pluto, which is in Capricorn. Now, Capricorn is a wonderful sign because it's earthy, it's grounding. But that's not going to hold little old Pluto back. I mean, Pluto has got transformational power, the power of rebirth and transformation. It takes what we know as entrenched power, and it tries to really impose its rigid limitations. It's sitting there in Capricorn, which makes it a little bit more stubborn. And boom, here comes Uranus in Aries. Aries being that trailblazer, that pusher, that prodder, that one that says, there's a brick wall there and I can put my head through it. You've got the two of these hitting an exact square tonight at 7:54 p.m. Now, it's been said, out of the seven exact squares, that the beginning one and the ending one are two of the most potent. Now, you can go through a variety of different astrologers with a variety of different opinions on that. But we're expected to feel the impact of this square for at least the next 6 months as it starts to get its magic out insidiously through us. Now, the good part is that this conjunction of these two, or not these conjunction, but the aspect of these two signs brings intention to those things that require change. But at the same time, it brings attention to those things where people are driving change that doesn't require change. For instance, We have ISIL, ISIS in the Middle East that has come up during this whole period of this Uranus-Pluto square journey over the last 3 years. We have so much unrest in the Middle East. We have unrest going on in the Ukraine. We have 47 senators that know nothing about the Constitution trying to quote the Constitution to the leader of Iran. I mean, we've got so much nonsense going on that just says, I don't want to be your friend. I don't want to be your buddy. I don't want to even be talking to you about this right now. I just want to go ahead and have things my way. And that's part of what we're facing. So think around in your life where you've seen more evidence of, I need to have things my way from the people around you. Now, keep in mind, they recently did a survey, and they found that most people believe more drivers on the road are discourteous drivers. At the same time, those same people, when they're in a hurry, are really quick to cut somebody off in traffic. So you see, we just think everybody should be more forgiving when it impacts us. And it's the same thing with the Uranus-Pluto. Take a look at how you've been acting. Take a look at your behavior. Take a look at areas where you felt more that you were pushing against what was presented to you. Were you in a store and they told you the only way to get something or do something a certain way was based on this process, and you found yourself feeling the rebellion? So this is this energy has been going on and off, as I said, for the last 3 years, but it's been likened back to the energy of the 60s, when there was violent revolution at that time, where essentially the youth were rebelling against the draft, against the Vietnam War. Hell no, we won't go. So this is really a very, very tumultuous time right now. Now, according to Joyce, who shares her weekly astrological forecast, and it's posted on both goodvibrationsradio.com, on the Facebook page for Good Vibrations, as well as Radio Monterey, she said the moon has been in Aquarius all day, which makes it fortunate aspect to Saturn at starting at 11:23 a.m. today. So this can help us feel more grounded in spite of the tumult going on right now with the Uranus-Pluto square, especially as we get closer to the square. Now, they create the foundation for worldwide change. This aspect does. And the world has been changing over that period of time. And it's really time for us to really believe that the world can change. A friend of mine who's 74 was sharing a couple of months ago how when she marched for peace in the 60s, when she spoke on behalf of women's rights in the 60s, that she believed the world would take a dramatic change. Now, there's no way any of us can look around and say the world has not dramatically changed since the 60s, but I, like her, believe that the world would be very different today than it is. I didn't believe that the forces of the radical forces guised under the term conservatism would actually end up taking over so much power in this country, so that we're busy refighting for women's rights. We're busy refighting for a living minimum wage. We're busy refighting for the ability to lift people up versus push people down. I never believed in any of my earlier travels through the 60s that at any point in time we'd be listening to the mantra of Ayn Rand as the decision points or the philosophy used to make political decisions for the governing of a nation. I'm astonished by that. Now, quite frankly, I think in the 1960s, especially when Goldwater got defeated in 64 by Johnson, I think that radical conservative movement, especially the John Birchers, who have now taken over the Republican Party, but I thought that that radical movement then, when Goldwater received the worst trouncing in any presidential election before or since, I thought that movement would start to see the light of the major portion of the population. Boy, was I wrong. So we had radical change brought to the forefront in the 60s. We had awareness brought to the forefront in the 60s. And what did it do? It forced one aspect of that decision point to go mainstream and the other aspect to become mainstream. What do I mean by that? Those conservatives, those radical right wing, I hate to call them conservatives, the radical right wing decided they need to entrench their philosophy more into the mainstream of our society. And you know, it's like boiling a frog. You've heard about this. If you take a frog and put them in a pot of water on a stove and then turn the heat up, and let it gradually increase, the frog will boil to death and never jump out because the heat increase is gradual and the frog is unaware of what's happening. That's what we've done since the 1960s. And now here we are, the seventh of seven squares of Uranus-Pluto, starting June 24th, 2012, almost even as Joyce says in her weekly newsletter, which if you're not receiving it, make sure you go to Pacific Astrology and sign up on Facebook. Let Joyce know you want to be on the email list for her newsletter, her weekly preview of the astrology. But as she mentions, it's almost 4 years ago because we're going to actually feel the tail of this square through June and July. It's not suddenly going to subside. And this is the time for us to create the intention and the direction for the worldwide change we want. Don't let the change be driven by us. This is where we have the opportunity to create the flow. We have the opportunity to create the consciousness. And how do we do it? We do it by actually speaking out, by not being timid, by not hiding, by not being afraid, by not saying just because that person has a strong opinion about something that I know is incorrect, that I'm just going to go home and, you know, be at peace, put on my sitar music, do a little meditation, you know, have a little organic dinner and be fine with myself. We have to be willing to speak out. We don't have to fight, but we have to confront bullshit when we say it. And when bullshit happens, it's not time to suddenly say, ooh, I'm not going to tell them that that's bullshit. Now, if you don't feel equipped to confront the bullshit, then don't. I don't want anybody in that situation. But anybody who tells me, for instance, that the 47 senators who sent that letter to the president of Iran saying, you know, don't negotiate with our president because, you know, we'll change that with the stroke of a pen once a new president gets in. There's nothing valid, legal, appropriate about what they did. So anybody who tells me, well, I can see why they did it. There's no seeing why they did it. I was so drunk, like that kid in Texas. I was so drunk that I created an accident and I killed four people. But I should be excused because I'm so used to things going my way that I don't have good judgment. That's a legitimate case. I think that's bullshit. There's a kid in Texas. Bill Maher talked about this, but I had forgotten about this. And we talked about it on air about 6-7 months ago, actually almost a year ago. There's a kid in Texas whose blood alcohol was about 4.0, totally drunk, shouldn't have stole the alcohol, shouldn't have been driving that car that he was driving. I think he stole the car. Nobody knew that he was driving that car. Stole the alcohol that he drank, got drunk with. Caused an accident. Four people died. His defense was the condition of influenza. See, now influenza meant that actually he's so used to having influence and having things go his way that he could not exercise proper judgment in that situation. He got off. He got off from killing four people in a DUI. Now, according to the judge, who I think was certainly bought and paid for, and that's why justice is blind, because justice doesn't always look when the money goes into its pockets. According to the judge, because his parents have to pay for rehab and other things like that, it's actually going to be more expensive than if he had a state vacation, for instance, at a penitentiary. I actually think You want to scare the crap out of that child and get him out of the idea of influenza? Send him to jail. He should have gone to jail. If he was somebody living in Watts or Harlem, you know, then he'd be in jail because there wouldn't have been an opportunity for anybody to defend him under some bullshit thing of influenza. Well, that's what Uranus and Saturn are going to bring up. More and more of that. And I think each and every one of us, if you're on a path of awakening, of enlightenment, or of just awareness, if we're not calling out bullshit when we say it, then I think that there is a serious issue with us. Are we willing to say it's not true? Are we willing to say that it's just somebody's false position? Kind of like when Fox News ran a segment where they turned around and said that there were zones where no one went because the Muslims ran them and everybody was afraid of them and they existed in Paris. Actually, the mayor of Paris sued Fox News. Actually, a judgment was levied against Fox News. Now, Fox keeps saying that that was bogus and that was... But the thing is, they went for several days saying there were all these Muslim zones that you couldn't travel into. And the mayor of Paris said that created impact on the community. The citizens of Paris were afraid because suddenly they're hearing about something that didn't exist that they thought they needed to be afraid of because there had just been that assassination over at the magazine, the satirical magazine Charlie. And then on top of that, it prevented people from traveling to Paris because they were afraid they might accidentally go into these zones. So you've got to confront the nonsense when it occurs. Now, I've been using the term bullshit through all that, and it may offend some people, and I'm not trying to offend. But, you know, I've been talking about James Allen as a man thinketh and how I love to look at James Allen as a man thinketh. And I have something known as the Day by Day with James Allen. Was put out by Vic Johnson. And I love this because it's like a daily calendar. And for today, bless you. For today, it says, doubt and fear are the great enemies of knowledge, and he who encourages them, who does not slay them, thwarts himself at every step. So I'm saying to you, Uranus and Pluto are going exact opposite at 7:54 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time tonight. This is the seventh of seven squares. This is the bringing out. This is the recognition. We're taking Pluto, who's that lord of karma and dharma. We're taking his strength, and we're confronting it with change, revolution, higher awareness. And we're taking his entrenched power and Uranus's revolution, and we're bringing them together in opposition. And as a matter of fact, because they're both in cardinal signs, Uranus is in Aries and Pluto is in Capricorn, it also affects the other cardinal signs of Cancer and Libra. So it's actually most impactful to the cardinal signs. But every one of us, depending on where Uranus and Pluto are in your chart, you can expect this. There's some impact going on with you right now. But there is going to be upheaval all around us. Now, does that mean suddenly everything's going to come apart? No, but it's going to be less gradual and more dramatic. And if you look back, it has been that way. Look back at your life. Look back at the world since June 24th, 2012. And take a look at all the things that have shifted and changed. And say to yourself, what do you want your world to be? What do you want it to be? Stop sitting there and saying, oh, I'm okay with this. Stop being the frog in the pot of water on the stove. Because somebody's going to turn that gas up. Somebody's going to turn that heat up. And gradually, over time, since the 1960s, all of us collectively as a society have allowed the heat to get turned up on the false and fraudulent claims imposed upon us now by a Tea Party, by a Republican Party, by a supposed conservative majority, when the truth is that is not the truth. That is bullshit. And we can't afford to have any more of that in our lives and our society. Princeton published a study that said the United States is no longer a democracy. It's not even close to a democracy. We are a nation owned and operated by the richest in the nation. It is bought and paid for, thanks to the help of our Supreme Court, thanks to the help of our Republican Party, thanks to the complicity of a Democratic Party, thanks to the complicity of everybody who does not go and vote at every election. I'm going to be 61 next month. That's how old I am. I've voted in every election since I was 18. Every one. Even when I was deployed overseas in the Marine Corps, I had a consistent and constant voting record. I voted for not just presidential elections, but every election that has come up. I'm really proud of that. Why? Because I'm going to bitch at you. That's right. Because if you haven't, if you've avoided, if you said your voice doesn't matter, then every time you say your voice doesn't matter, it matters more. Because that means somebody else's voice now just got double credits. So we've allowed it. We've been the frog in the pots on our stoves. We've been allowing ourselves to get hotter and hotter and boil away. And we've done it because we've thought it was nice to say, oh, I can't tell them that that's nonsense. I can't even tell them, oh, I could never say that that was bullshit. I couldn't say that. Polite people wouldn't say that. You know what? Polite people who really cared about other people would not be trying to create the society that's being imposed on us by the minority. So I'll come back with a little bit more of that here on Good Vibrations Radio as we explore more of the Uranus-Pluto square, the impact on each and every one of us, and how each and every one of us is critical, critical to the creation of a society, a democracy, and a republic that actually honors each and every one of its citizens and looks out for their welfare. This is Good Vibrations Radio with Solazar and Kirilani, and we'll be right back.
You can enjoy an evening of inspiration, personal growth, intellectual stimulation, and powerful energy for transformation at the Circle of Light. Connect with other adventurous souls seeking the expanded view outside the box. Join us at the Circle of Light on the third Friday of each month at the Unitarian Sanctuary, 490 Aguajita Road, Carmel, just off the PG Pebble Beach exit of Highway 1. Doors open at 7 p.m. General admission is $11, $9 for students and seniors. Call 484-1923 for more information.
Welcome back. You're listening to Good Vibrations Radio on Radio Monterey.
And this is Solazar. We're back here on Good Vibrations Radio tonight talking about the Uranus-Pluto square and really what it presages for us in our society. Now, a couple of things that I keep mentioning is, as we know, that Pluto is about all that entrenched power going on. And Uranus is change and revolution, higher awareness. And with this square, Uranus is in Aries, Pluto is in Capricorn, and every cardinal sign, which actually all of us are going to be impacted, but the cardinal signs are getting it the most. Certainly Aries and Capricorn are going to get smacked in the face, but then Cancer and Libra are going to feel that impact as well. And what we have to do is we have to look both at our personal lives and the world around us. Now, the interesting thing is that since this Uranus-Pluto journey started back in 2012, or actually, let's see, pretty sure it's 2012. Let me just check. I think it was June 24th, 2012. See, I get so wrapped up sometimes I even forget my notes and what I'm saying. But June 24th, 2012, this is actually the only time that neither planet is in retrograde at the moment of square. So what does that mean? Okay, retrograde forces a more internal awareness, a more internal examination. It asks us to take a look inside, see what's going on. Okay, both of them are right out there. They're in your face. You know, I was listening to some folks today talking about the difference between introvert and extrovert. From what I heard, I don't believe what either of them said, but in terms of their definition. But here's my definition, because it's going to go right to the heart of Uranus and Pluto. For me, an extrovert gets energized being around other people. It's not that they never internally process anything, but they get energized by that external interaction. They're more prone to have conversations with their friends about what's going on with them in their life than they are to go off into a corner and say, let me take a walk in nature and examine it. An introvert's more likely to take that walk in nature and examine it away from people, because being around people tends to drain their energy, where actually being against with just close friends or by themselves tends to help them recharge their energy and regather their strength. To me, those are the distinctions between introvert and extrovert. A retrograde planet is a lot like an introverted planet at that moment in time. Its energy is more internally driven inside of us, causing us to seek that self-awareness inside. But when they're direct, and both of them right now, Uranus and Pluto, are in direct motion, when they're direct, boy, it is out there. This is the extrovert. This is the one pushing, prodding, and poking. And saying, we've got to take a look. This is the challenge to shed our skins. This is the challenge to wake the fact that we're in a brand new reality. But what do you want it to look like? Stop waiting for it to come to you. You know, there's a card in the Osho Zen Tarot deck where it's a card of the of spirit, as a matter of fact. But a gentleman is sitting there on a lounge chair with kind of a robe on and with a one of those fruit drinks with an umbrella in it, and all around him is kind of like a checkerboard square and other things, and it's all coming apart all around him. And it's because he's been waiting for the world to come to him. So this is the time for us to go out. If this is the time for the revolution, for the rebellion, for us to make the change in the world, and it is presaging that change. This is the time of that change. That's why there's so much resistance. That's why the powers that be, the powers of the ignorance and the stupidity, that's why they are stuck in their positions of imposing the idiocy on everybody else. Because actually, if I'm stupid, I need to impose it on everyone else. But the reason I need to do that when I'm stupid is because I need to prove that I'm not stupid. Last week, I ran some stuff called, it's called the Dunning-Kruger effect. You can look it up on Wikipedia, or you can send an email to solazar@gmail.com, and I'd be happy to send you the link. But the Dunning-Kruger effect really says this. A stupid person does not have the mental acuity to realize that they are stupid. In order for them to recognize that they were stupid, they'd have to not be stupid. So that also goes to another level of that, which is an incompetent person doesn't have the ability to recognize that they're incompetent. Because in order to recognize that they're incompetent, they'd have to be competent. Now, I'm not talking about Catch-22. For those who remember the old Catch-22 story, which came out of the Korean War, the novel, it was really that if you felt you were mentally unable to handle military service or combat, that proved that you were mentally able to handle it. Because if you were mentally unable to handle it, you wouldn't know that you couldn't handle it. That's just circular logic. But what they found in the Dunning-Kruger study is that, in fact, people who are stupid, one, are absolutely entrenched in their belief. They believe that their belief is absolutely correct, and there is no other. And because they don't have the ability to recognize their own stupidity, they are unable to recognize the flaws in their belief system or in their own intelligence or well, actually, it's not intelligence. We're not talking intelligence. Stupidity is stupidity. You can actually be highly educated and stupid at the same time. That's another one of those things we have to recognize. Education in and of itself especially as practiced in our country, does not necessarily equate to your ability to rationally think and be intelligent. It's a good indicator. It's a good helper. You can pretty much figure that more educated people are able to do that than uneducated people, but you can't say that it's a one-for-one. It just isn't, because it's a skill set in and of itself, and we don't teach that. Matter of fact, this is a digression from my diatribe. I just want to let you know, give you fair warning. Education was originally started as a way to educate the wealthy for them to be able to reason, analyze, and think. It was not about teaching somebody some skill set to get a job. We've turned it into some job training program. Education is about thinking. And so what we don't do is we're not teaching our youth to think, to reason through something. So what do we do in our fast-paced world? We take a 30-second soundbite and we say, that sounds true to me, and we run with it, and that's the end of it. We don't have to explore. We don't have to research. We don't have to analyze. We don't even have to think about it. If we hear the 30-second soundbite enough, it's got to be so. That's how Fox News has turned themselves into supposedly Fox News, you know, the most trusted source, and yet they've been shown to have the least accurate reporting. How do you do that? How do you have a fact that says something's not a fact, and yet people still want to believe something else? Oh, I forgot, they're stupid. I'm sorry, I missed that. I wasn't listening to myself. So this has been a tough time since we first started down this path of the Uranus-Pluto squares for most people. I'm not sure. When Kira and I have talked to a variety of people, it has been really an emotional journey for many, many people. Even those who may feel that their security needs are being met in the world, you know, they're okay financially, or, you know, their house is paid off, or whatever else is going on, there's been an emotional journey that everybody's been going through for the last 3 years. But we all have to recognize one critical issue. The past is gone. The past is no longer with us. The past is past. The future may be uncertain, but we can't live in the future because we're here right now, so we must live in the present. During the journey of this Uranus-Pluto square, we're going to have a variety of experiences that ask us to really pay attention to what's shifting in our world, be willing to create the shifts in our world, and also to pay attention to what's truly important for us. And we said all month I've been saying, this is our time to shed our skins. We're in a brand new reality. The rules that we're used to may not apply anymore. So take a look at the rules under which you've been living your life, the rules under which you've allowed yourself to feel comfortable every day. You said, okay, because of this rule, I feel like I know what's going on. Like, if I have my tea at 9:15, I'm good. Take a look if that really serves you. And maybe tea at 9:15 does serve you. So I'm not saying don't take tea at 9:15. What I'm implying is we have to look at the patterns and behaviors that we've put in place in our lives and say, if they're no longer serving us, it's time to let them go. As Hans King and I spoke about 2 weeks ago when he was here, it's the concept of the closet. If you say to yourself, I'm waiting for someone in my life, then my question to you is, are your closets all full? Because if your closets are full and there's no room to add anything else in your closets, then you don't have room for someone else in your life. Now, that's a metaphor. It's saying, think of it that same way. Have you made room for that person in your life? If you're on the go from sunup to sundown, if your time is so occupied with whatever it is that you do, and your closets are full, and there's no room in your garage, where do you have room for something new to come into your life? That's the important element to consider. Where do you have that room? Because if you don't have that room, nothing new can come in. So take a look at those things. This is the month to shed them. Get rid of them. This Uranus-Pluto square actually helps encourage that revolution and be kind but brutal with yourself at the same time. What I mean is, if you're starting to pick some up, well, I wonder if I should keep that. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Because if you can't pick it up and say, I really want to hold on to this for this reason, then it's probably something you're using to keep from making room in your life. Just saying. Now, because I also had that earlier discussion about stupidity, you could also be out there saying, you know what, I think he's stupid and I'm not going to do it. That's your choice. That's the beauty of this life we have. You don't have to do a thing I say. But I'm certainly going to share with you those things that would help you kind of move forward. Now, we got to remember, too, tomorrow is St. Paddy's Day. So, you know, top of the morning to you. Ne'er and go bra. But Venus will move into Taurus, and then it's moving further away from the aspect that it had with Mars. And so while it allowed us a great love of all that was new while it was within Mars, this is a comfortable, content, and sensual cycle that Venus is moving into. It's a time for us to take a look at what it means to embrace ourselves. We've said this year is about self-love. This Venus energy moving into Taurus is a great time for us to examine how we've treated ourselves under the umbrella of self-love. I was just talking to someone on Sunday that had a really horrific accident about a month ago and is preparing to go into surgery. And my comment with them is, I said, you know, unfortunately, sometimes in order to get our attention, the universe really has to trip us up. I said, it is so painful that you have to go through this thing. I said, but all of us have got to recognize this is our time for self-love. And I wasn't saying that in judgment or recrimination. I was just making an observation because that's how I am. We have got to pay attention to what self-love is for us. So that means if you're not doing this now and I give you something and an idea for a new routine, maybe you just want to take some scented baths at night to help release yourself from the day. Maybe you want to wake up each day doing the practice that we talked about with Phil Kaler last week, which is you wake up, you take that breath in, and you tense up. And you hold it for 5 seconds, and then you release and let it out and let all the tension go so that you wake up releasing the stress and tension you may have carried forward into sleep that night. If you do these things and start honoring yourself, eating what's good for you, getting the rest that you need, trying to give yourself the sufficient downtime you need, because for all of us it's different, that's a good lesson to take away from Venus going into Taurus. And we got to remember on Wednesday, the sun's going to go into Aries. And then before we're done with this week, we're going to have our new moon in Pisces and our full solar eclipse. But we'll talk about that later in the week. For right now, what's important for each and every one of us to go back to, as a man thinketh, doubt and fear are the great enemies of knowledge. And he who encourages them, who does not slay them, thwarts himself at every step. Don't doubt yourself. You are deserving. You're deserving of all that you have and all that you haven't yet received. You are deserving of being the truly fully divine person you are. And your mind is always nurtured by divine ideas of recognizing yourself and recognizing your divinity. So be sure to carry that practice forward to make sure that what you're doing for yourself, especially through this week, and when Kira gets on in the second hour, she'll talk more about that. But especially through this week, be ready, willing, and able to recognize your accomplishments. Don't berate yourself for the things that haven't gone well in your life, but recognize your accomplishments and the skills and the talents and the abilities that you bring to things. And if you've never sat down and said, here's a list of my skills, my talents, and abilities, I encourage you to do that this week, you know? You know, we can't love ourselves if we're not willing to honor ourselves for what we have. You know, as Thoreau said, there's no remedy for love but to love more. And that starts with loving ourselves. We truly, now, loving ourselves is not the self-devoted focus to ourselves. We're not We're not a Bill O'Reilly on Fox News who's more in love with what he has to say than what it really means and whether or not it's even true. As long as his mouth is moving and his words are coming out, he's in love with himself. But love is really honoring ourselves for those gifts, talents, and abilities we have, which we all have, being truthful about them. I asked somebody for a bio today, and they sent me a little thing saying, well, I tend to be non-humble about it. Well, why should my bio be humble? If I did something, why shouldn't my bio say that? And is that a case of ego in my bio, or is that just a case of a factual issue? I either did something or I didn't do something. I don't know what his bio will or won't say. I have no idea, and I'll find out. But remember, this is our time to not only love ourselves, but to be kind to others, to recognize that they're all going through the same stress, the same pressure, whether they show it or not. They're going through all this right now. And so everyone is feeling it. Everyone is feeling that pressure, that tension, that stress. Be kind to one another. Love yourself. Honor yourself. Generate that self-love. Release the stress from yourself. Now, one of the things that we talk about all the time is what type of affirmations are you sharing with yourself? I know that. I know some people don't like affirmations, but let's get right down to it. If you talk to yourself, chances are you talk to yourself. Now, you might talk out loud or you might not, but most of us do talk out loud, and 80% of our self-talk is negative. A lot of our self-talk is a reinforcement of all the things that someone has said we didn't deserve, didn't earn, or shouldn't have in our lives. So what we do is, unintentionally, is we create all these beautiful intentions of, I want this in my life. And then we have that self-talk to all of ourselves that pretty much is saying, I don't know why you want that in your life. You're not deserving of it. As a matter of fact, if you weren't you, I wouldn't even be friends with you. You know, if I had to be friends with someone like you, I wouldn't even like you. I don't even like you very much. I don't think you're very good. I don't think you're very nice. You know, it's kind of the opposite of Stuart Smalley. So what we need to do is replace that self-talk with our positive self-talk. That, remember, I am a worthy, deserving person. I'm worthy of happiness. I'm worthy of thinking my own thoughts. I'm worthy of feeling my own feelings. I'm worthy of loving and being loved. I'm worthy of living my fortune. It's my birthright. Write that down. I'm worthy of living my fortune. It's my birthright. I'm worthy of being at peace with myself and the world. And I have complete faith in myself and I know my worthiness. So I'm going to repeat them again in a different voice.
I am a worthy and deserving person. I am worthy of happiness. I am worthy of thinking my own thoughts. I am worthy of feeling my own feelings. I am worthy of loving and being loved. I am worthy of living my fortune. It is my birthright. I am worthy of being at peace with myself and the world. I have complete faith in myself, and I know my worthiness. Now just stop for a minute and feel how that feels. Feel the shift that took place in less than a minute of just doing those daily affirmations of worth. I feel better already. Thank you for sharing those, Salazar. Because, it's funny in a year of self-love, right? How sometimes the most simple things can make this huge difference. What if we started our day with those affirmations instead of waiting until you get to the end of the day and you're feeling frazzled and you're feeling stressed and you had run-ins with people or things didn't turn out the way you wanted? What if you start your day from that place and you live your day from that place? I am a worthy, deserving person. I am worthy of happiness. I am worthy of thinking my own thoughts. I am worthy of feeling my own feelings. I'm worthy of being loved and being loved. I'm worthy of living my fortune. I'm worthy of being at peace with myself and the world. And I have complete faith in myself, and I know my worthiness. What if every person we interacted with during the day, we operated from that place and we extended those same blessings to them? Would we show up in a different way? Would the quality of how we communicate and express ourselves throughout the day be a little bit better? If you walk into a situation and you walk out of it feeling a little out of balance, what if you stopped for a minute and just did one of those affirmations? Or if doing all of these is too much, just pick one a day. And as you walk through the day, repeat to yourself, I am a worthy and deserving person. And every time something comes up that feels a little off, go back to, I am a worthy and deserving person. Little things can make a big difference. It doesn't have to be super hard. That's part of the blessing of self-love.
And we've heard time and time again that I don't know, I hear a creaking and creaking. So yeah, there we go. We hear time and time again that if we wake up with that feeling of gratitude and the expression of gratitude, that Kira wants me to change mics, even though we've got, hold on a second.
It's all a cosmic dance. Salazar and the infinite number of mics. We're having a small technical difficulty.
Yeah. So what I was saying is that we hear time and time again that if we wake up with that expression of gratitude and we operate from that expression of gratitude, then we start our day with that impression and feeling of gratitude. And that's what the importance is of our affirmations, is looking at what we're saying to ourselves. What we're saying to ourselves that is, in fact, non-affirming, non-loving, and it doesn't honor us. It's not the self-love. It's not the affirming, because as you and I always talk about, Kira, and that's right, we pulled a little switch there because Kira had come in. But as you and I are always talking about, is that what we put inside us is what we're going to put outside when we get squeezed. And so if we're putting that in, we're going to squeeze out that same love and that same affirmation.
And I'm sure you talked about this earlier in the hour, but this is the time where we're being squeezed. That square that is happening, it's going to squeeze all of us, both from a personal point of view, but also from a societal point of view. You're seeing that play out in the headlines of the news. We're seeing it play out in our families. We're seeing it play out in our own personal lives. So when you're squeezed, what comes out?
And so we'll talk more about this in the second hour, but we're going to close out with little Sean Galloway to remind us that this month and all the time, what we want to do is choose love.
A storm. What do you choose? No, I choose to love where freedom flies from my heart, where the light keeps shining. And I choose to feel the whole world crying for the strength that we can rise above. I choose love.
Hello, I'm Solazar.
Hi, I'm Kirilani, and welcome back to Good Vibrations Radio, Tools for Transformation, right here on Radio Monterey.
So quantum physics tells us that we're all energy vibrating at different frequencies, and in Good Vibrations Radio, we bring you information that allows you to change the vibrational frequency of your life. We're your source for everyday alchemy, so you can take the lead in your life and turn it into gold. Good Vibrations Radio is made possible through the sponsorship of Magic for Life, which is the owner-operator of Radio Monterey, bringing you empowered programming for the open mind. And it's also the promoter-producer of the Rhoda Psychic Fair, coming to you May 2nd and 3rd at the Monterey Fairgrounds. So come on out for Beltane and May Day and all those other things, and just join in the community of fun and sun. And tonight we are lucky and fortunate to have with us Kirilani, who will share with us the energy of the week, the month, and the year in her Go With The Flow.
Well, thanks, Elazar. And here we are in the beautiful month of March, and we've got a powerful week lining up for us here. So let's get to it. So first of all, let's take a look at where we are in this year. So we're in a year that is all about self-love. It's about allowing through our self-love to open up to a greater flow of prosperous abundance and affluence coming into our life. Now, that isn't just financial. That is on a physical level, vibrant health, on an emotional level, loving relationships in every area of your life, and an open heart, and walking through the world in joy and bliss and ecstasy. And that sounds pretty good to me. And peace of mind, and having clarity of purpose, and aligning our free will with the will of our soul in doing our mission and service in the world. So it's allowing all of those bodies to come together in a state of harmony, in a state of flow. So that sounds really pretty darn good, right? So this is the interesting thing, because here we are with this great lesson, and yet there isn't anyone on the planet that really has mastered self-love, because in a time of limitations, which has really governed us up until this time, it was really somewhat impossible. So I had a couple of folks wander by the door today, and for some reason I answered it in the middle of the day. And what could you expect to have on the other side of the door? But it was two ladies that were inviting me to, I don't even know what to call it, an event to celebrate Jesus and to celebrate the sacrifice he made. And I said, well, I would like to elevate Christ consciousness to the point
that it is just about love and light, not about sacrifice. And yet, when we are talking about self-love, that all gets mixed up into it. That whole concept of original sin, that whole concept of somehow there's all these things inherently wrong with us, that Jesus had to die for our sins. And then with that comes the guilt and the shame and all those other great things that we have carried around inside of us, whether we consciously believe them or not. There are unconscious programs that are running in all of us that impact that voice track in our head that Salazar was talking about in the first hour, that impact how we judge ourselves, how we talk to ourselves, how we look at situations, how we judge or assess our worth, what we're fueled by, and whether that comes from external approval or validation, or whether it comes from a higher sense of knowing that we are worthy, knowing that we are divine, knowing that we are magical, miracle creatures, and to be operating from that point of view, from our God self, from our higher level of being, not from our ego, not from the part of us that would fight and that would look at things in a limited way. So we've watched as science has evolved and the study of the human mind and the study of human behavior. And Salazar was sharing with me recently the difference between the conservative mind and kind of the liberal mind. And what they've shown is the conservative mind operates much more from that kind of reptilian fight or flight area of the brain. Now, when we walk through the world from that place, everything looks like a fight. Everything looks like there may be a conflict. Every person you meet is a potential adversary. Well, what if we could flip that around? Because that's what we're meant to do in this millennium that's all about relationships and communication and diplomacy. What if we flip that around, that every person that walks into your life is a gift? Every person that walks into your life is a potential ally, a potential friend, a potential opportunity for connection to someone else who might bring a gift into your life. If we start approaching things from that perspective, we, little by little, event by event, moment by moment, we start transforming those old worn-out ruts of dances we no longer even consciously want to dance anymore. But those are the dances and the patterns that are the lack of self-love in our life. So this is our year to reprogram those, to pave a new way, to rise above those things that have kept us imprisoned. And last year was our year about self-truth. And it showed us, it shined a spotlight, a flashlight, into the dark corners of our closets. The closets physically, or the closets emotionally and mentally that are just as deep for many of us, to say, what are you hiding back there and why is it still there? And could you maybe haul that out and say, I'm done with it now? I don't need to carry that extra weight around with me. I don't need to carry that baggage with me, those old woundings of my heart, those old offenses in the mind. What if it was time to clear those out and allow those spaces to be filled with love and light? That's the work of this year. And we use the clarity that we gained last year to say, well, what are those things? What are those things I'm going to step up to the plate to transform? And I don't know about you, but for me, this year is going wildly fast. And for everyone that we talk to, they're having the same experience. So it's really important for us to be able to stay in the moment, to stay in balance, to deal with the situations as they come up as best we can, not to say, oh, I'm going to shove it back in the closet and deal with it next week, because when next week comes, there's going to be a whole bunch of other things. So it's a year that's almost like a series of tests. If you were doing a video game and you just kept going from level to level to level to level, right? To say, okay, she passed that one, or he did great on that one. Let's up the complexity of that lesson. Let's up the ante to see how far you can go with choosing the high road, how far you can go in expressing what you learned last year, the authenticity of who you are, expressing that essence of the God or the Christ or the goddess or the divine or whatever you want to call it, expressing your higher self in the world. So here we are now in a month that is also devoted to that same energy that was all of 2014. It's a month that re-highlights our self-truth. Who are we authentically? Who are we at the core? Why are we here? What gifts do we have to share? It's asking us to dig deep and say, what are those places? Again, if we shine the spotlight into the corners of darkness of our soul that we're willing to let go of, that we're willing to let go of that story of being unworthy, or let go of that story that we're not enough, or let go of that story that somehow we deserve to be punished in the world. Because all those things that sabotage our life, those are up right now for everybody. Whatever your Achilles heel is, it's going to be up this year, right? So you might as well focus on it and say, what can I do to balance and heal and see a greater level of truth in? So here we are in the mental week of the month. And the mental week is always going to focus on what are those doubts and fears and attitudes and excuses and limiting beliefs that are holding you back from being what you came here to be, that are holding you back from expressing that higher level of who you are. So it's a great week for wonderful transformation. And we have that power today of transformation. So the Osho Zen card that I picked before we started the show for all the listeners was about staying in the moment, about looking at all the connections around you and knowing that things are shifting so quickly. Time is very fluid now. Things that you used to think were solid in terms of organizational structures or the constructs of society itself are shifting. So don't hold tightly on to how things used to be, either in the world or in society or even in your life. Be willing to go into the current of the river and float and allow your direction to be guided by your desire, by your passion, by your focus. But know that if you have the courage to let go of the banks of that river, and allow yourself to be carried by your soul, by the divine, by the universe, by your angels and masters, that you will end up in a greater place than where you started. So in that staying in the moment, it's almost like mini leaps of faith of knowing that the next step will be provided for you. It will materialize in front of your foot that you may not be able to see today. And yet, each choice you make today, each decision you make, where you put your focus, where you put your heart, where you put your energy, is in itself, in that great process of creation, creating the next potential steps in front of you. So it's okay if you can't see all the steps. We like sharing a quote from Martin Luther King. It says, you don't have to see the whole staircase. You just have to see the first step. And that requires a level of trust that this card embodies also. Because as this being in the card is stepping from step to step, if you look closely, he's blindfolded. He can't see it. He's just trusting that the step is going to be there. And that's what the universe is asking us to do right now. is to say, where is our focus? What do we want to create? But then to be in trust that as we go on the journey, it is the journey itself that helps us manifest what that is of where we want to go, of where our passion is. So here we are in the rich, fertile, creative part of the year. What are your dreams? What are your desires? What are the seeds that you want to plant in this rich, fertile period? This is really the week. If this year has gotten away from you, which I confess, in some respects, it has for me. So I've talked to you all about doing your intentions, doing your desires, planting your seeds. And I finally sat down last night with my kind of intentions that I had worked on over New Year's, but I had never gotten up on my vision board. They were still running around in my purse. And Salazar was like, why are you carrying all those cards in your little tiny purse? And it was because, on one hand, I had them close to me, but they were shoved in another dark pocket, right? So if your seeds, if your dreams and your visions, just like a seed in the ground, if you never plant it, it can never bloom. If it never gets out of that deep pocket of your purse, right, it's not going to materialize in the world because you are not focusing on it. So I sat down with my vision board last night and got out my watercolors and just that process. And I am not an artist, right? I would have considered myself in my younger years not even remotely creative because I tried to stick with things that were definitely had a right or wrong to them, a black or white. And in that black or white space, you miss all the colors of the rainbow. And this is the time in this creative cycle of the year to embrace all the colors of the rainbow, all the colors that you are. Even if you would say, well, I don't know if I'm good at that. If you have a passion for it, if you enjoy it, go for the things where there's joy. Bring more of that into your palette and think about painting the picture and the vision of the life that you want. What colors do you bring into it? What shapes do you bring into it? So whatever you do this week, dust off that little playful child that was willing to play with finger paints and it didn't matter if it turned out to be a pretty picture. Just engage in the process and know that that creative force, that force of creativity is so strong right now. And you are being asked to align that with what you love, because that's where your power is. Your power is in the present moment. Your power at this time of year is in creation. So what are you creating? Because whether you're doing it consciously or you're letting, as the masters like to say, letting life live you, one way or the other, you're creating. So I think this is a good place, Salazar, to stop and take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about some of the special opportunities that are up this week, because it is a magical, chock-full week. So you're listening to Good Vibrations Radio with Salazar and Kirilani, and we'll be right back.
You can enjoy an evening of inspiration, personal growth, intellectual stimulation, and powerful energy for transformation at the Circle of Light. Connect with other adventurous souls seeking the expanded view outside the box. Join us at the Circle of Light on the third Friday of each month at the Unitarian Sanctuary, 490 Aguajito Road, Carmel, just off the PG Pebble Beach exit of Highway 1. Doors open at 7 p.m. General admission is $11, $9 for students and seniors. Call 484-1923 for more information.
Good vibrations.
Welcome back.
This is Solazar. We're back from commercial break. Carolina, you wanted to go through some of the week, so why don't you go ahead and start in that, and then, well, actually, what I wanted to do is I wanted to hit play on that, please. Hit play on that. I wanted to kind of come back with this, and I'm just hoping it's going to play because I was trying to cue it earlier and I couldn't hear it. So I don't know what's going on with my board settings. Nope. It's not playing. We'll try coming back to that. And Carolina, why don't you go ahead and start talking through the week?
All right. Well, we've got a chock full week here. And what I wanted to start with, we mentioned, and Solazar talked at the beginning of the hour about the Uranus-Pluto square. So I'm going to ask him to share a little bit about that. But I mentioned before the break that today is a powerful day of transformation. And this is really an important day to acknowledge that we are here to be transformers in the world. We are here to dust off our skills of alchemy because, as we say in the introduction to the show, we are our own alchemists, and frankly, we're here to turn the lead in our own life into gold. And consequently, we do that through the transformation of our own stuff within us. Our physical body is the cauldron for transformation. So we are transforming all the way down to a DNA RNA level. And we do that by releasing, like we talked about before the break, releasing all that baggage that we're carrying, holding more love and light in our physical bodies. And with all of the infusion of light and energy and information coming onto the planet, that is helping us get rewired, but that's asking us to hold higher frequencies. So there was a huge infusion of energy over the weekend on Saturday, and followed by another, well, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, that whole 3 days was this huge infusion of information. So we're kind of digesting all of that energy, and I'm hearing that. So that means Solazar and Bill have gotten the computer to work. So I'll just keep going here. So then, if we look at Wednesday, Wednesday is going to be a big day. So that is a full solar eclipse in Pisces in the afternoon. So what happens on a solar eclipse? Every solar eclipse we have, it punctuates what your destiny is, what your mission and destiny, but particularly what your destiny is for this life. That is what, why you got this life. That is what you came into this life to teach, to accomplish, to share with the world. It makes you uniquely who you are. And so if there is this impetus, this pressure inside to say, you know, I really do want to do whatever I came here to do, to share what I want to do. I want to get off the stick and get doing it. That is that pressure that comes with the solar eclipse. And this one is an interesting one because it's in Pisces. It's going to actually, because it's the first solar eclipse we've had like this, right up against the spring equinox, it's actually going to create a rebirth of the energy of Pisces. And what's interesting is we look at this whole Piscean era, right? And all of the things that are associated with that, which a lot of people have associated with the patriarchy and a time of a lot of war. But we had a caller that called in once and said, you know, you got it all wrong. Pisces inherently is not like that. Pisces is really a rather gentle spirit. It's about water. It's about the culmination of all of the learning of all the astrological signs. And that really, that aggressive, hostile, kind of warlike attributes that we associate with the Piscean era came from an Aries aspect within that. And I thought, well, that's interesting, right? So Pisces, in this solar eclipse, can now take on the highest aspect of what it came here to teach, which really is about love. It comes back to, if we could graduate from its highest lesson, it would be about that gentleness of balance and love. So as you go into that day, give yourselves a little bit of time. It also, numerologically, is a 33-day for clarity and wisdom, which is interesting because that associates to the numerological vibration also of Pisces. So you're getting a double dose where the numerology, the goddess energy, is supporting what's happening astrologically with Pisces. So when you see that type of alignment, you know that you're going to get a huge awakening, a huge opening. So spend some time that day in meditation. Spend some time, again, focusing on the seeds you want to plant, the dreams that you have. What is your vision for this world? What is this vision for your life? How do we move beyond the Piscean era that we've seen to move to more balance between the sexes, more balance between the internal manifesting masculine aspect of self and the feminine creative goddess essence of self? How do we bring those into union, into integration? That's part of what gets triggered or set off as we go through that solar eclipse in Pisces on Wednesday. And then the next day brings this huge infusion again to say, now, how does that play out when it comes to fully realizing who you are in this life? So when Salazar and I did our monthly call for January, we talked a lot about this year, about the 8 year, and we actually provided meditation symbols that you can use throughout the year. If you weren't able to connect in that call, you might want to go ahead and go back out. It's not too late to go ahead and get the podcast of that call and get the resource guide, because tomorrow is, or Thursday is one of those days that is an 88 day. And there's some special symbols you can work with to start using and working with that energy in your life. It's asking you, really, as we go through spring equinox, to plant yourself as that fully realized seed of God into this beautiful, fertile ground, and allow yourself to bloom, all your potential to bloom, not just stay harnessed in the seed, waiting for the right time. This is the right time. And really call upon yourself everything that you've ever been, everything that you will ever be, all of your attributes and gifts and talents and abilities, that call them forth now. And as you go into spring equinox, know that that's the greatest seed that you are planting. You know, spring equinox is this time where we have great balance. You have the balance of the light and the dark. We're moving back toward greater light in our life as we move toward summer solstice. So it's really the kickoff to our spiritual new year, more than our Gregorian New Year. So if we look at that spiritual New Year, what our energy is going to be, that is actually this year brings the energy of creativity, that co-creation with the divine. So on a spiritual level, you are always co-creating with the divine. It's asking us to do that in a conscious way, in a way with spiritual discipline, where we're really plugged in and connected to our higher self. We're plugged into our source. And when we create from that place, we are so much more powerful. So the affirmation Salazar was sharing at the end of last hour are important to that, to start from that foundation that I am worthy, that I am a co-creator with the divine, that I am here to share my gifts and talents and abilities. I am here to use new tools that are based on limitlessness, that are based on truth and spiritual liberation and light and love. So that is kind of our, let's see if there's anything then. Somehow I'm losing Saturday. That is kind of our playbook for the week. So we would invite you, if you're interested in more of the information that we shared, we shared a great deal more on our monthly call for March. And if you'd like to, you can still go back and get that podcast also, as well as the resource guide, because it gives you a whole vibrational roadmap for the month. And there's a lot going on in March. So Solazar, for the listeners that weren't able to participate in the first hour, did you also want to share a little of what's going on with the Pluto-Uranus square?
Sure, I'm happy to do that, but we're not online. We've lost our online connection, which is part of what happened over here. So I will continue just so we close out the show. Is that so the Pluto... Oh, there we go. There, we're back. People are back. All right, so Pluto, as we mentioned before, is about that entrenched power. It's about entrenched institutions, power. It's really the full exercise. It's a full exercise of power that's going on, so that and what I mentioned before is that, and Uranus is about the unexpected, the revolution, the change. And so what we're facing now is the seventh of seven squares that have been going on since June 24th, 2012. And this is also the only one where neither planet is retrograde. So I mentioned earlier that when we're talking about retrograde, we're talking about more of an internal process and an internal energy going on, and that it forces us to go inside and examine. So a lot more, while it was going on around the world, the fact that the energy was retrograde from one or the other of those planets during those squares also didn't create the external shifts and changes necessary. They were much more subtle. So I referred to it as the frog in the pot of water, where you put the frog on the stove, on the pot of water, and you turn up the heat. And slowly, over time, the frog allows itself to be boiled to death, because the heat is gradual. And that's what's been happening since June 24th, 2012. However, that also means that right now we're at a position of being able to shed our own skins and make the change we want in the world. So all, as I referred to it in the first hour, all the bullshit that's been going on, of all these forces trying to impose, enforce, and constrict and restrict, we now have the ability to shape the world as we want it to be, but we have to come out of the house and have to come out of the closet. And we can't sit by and say, just let it happen and I'll say a prayer. We have to be vocal, we have to be present, and we have to be active. Now, the way we're vocal, present, and active is by making sure that when we confront the untruths, the BS, and the nonsense in the world, we call it out for what it is. Now, we don't have to have a conflict in the middle of the supermarket, but we also don't have to accept that into our lives. And we need to be willing to stand up for what is true and right and appropriate. And that's one of the things that this square is going to force upon us. Either we can sit by and we can be the frog in the pot of water as the heat is turned on and continue to allow ourselves to be boiled away to nothingness, or we can leave the pot. We still have the ability to leave the pot because the heat is not turned up enough. And because both Uranus and Pluto are direct, there's no retrograde here. The influence of Uranus in Aries, which is essentially saying, you know, Aries, as I said in the first hour, will see a brick wall and say, hey, I want to put my head through that. That's what Aries do. That's how we're cut. That's how we're made. And then we have Pluto in Capricorn, And that's more stable and stubborn. So that what we've got is we've got entrenched power represented by Pluto in a very stubborn, earth-based foundational sign. And we've got Uranus saying, I want revolution in a very aggressively, you know, through the wall type of sign. And they're both direct. Those forces are in full conflict tonight at 7:58 p.m. Pacific Daylight Time. And now we're going to feel the pull, the push, the tug, the world shifting around us. The question is, do you want to be part of the shift of changing your world? And when I mean change your world, I mean we may not be able to create the change in Washington or Sacramento at this moment, but we damn sure can create the change in our world to make it start becoming and framing and make it more of the world we want it to be. And we don't have an option. It's going to happen. So either we can sit by and let the world change and become the passive participant, and then we can complain about it later. And I did this whole thing about every time you don't vote, how you're voting. Or we can be an active participant.
Well, and I think, you know, as a coping mechanism, there's also a lot of people, and I'm sharing this because I tend to do this, when there's a lot of that intensity going on, I want to just hunker down and weather the storm until it's over. And if we choose to do that, we actually miss a phenomenal opportunity that's going on right now. So all this intensity, all these forces, as Solazar is speaking about, what they're intended to do is drive change. And if we are just hunkering down saying, I'm going to keep my head low and I'm not going to change, I miss the opportunity to allow those winds of heaven to blow through me and offer up all that I am to get reorganized for where we need to go and where we need to be, instead of entrenching more deeply into where we are.
Well, and that's the important thing. Even though, as I mentioned in the first hour, I'll do more on the eclipse tomorrow and Wednesday as we get close to it, and I know you won't be with us at that time. But I want people to recognize that this week, as you shared, this week is a transformational week, period. And the question is, if they have not done the self-truth work last year, if they have not done the self-love work already with the start of this year, if they have not taken on the self-love energy or self-truth energy of March and embraced it, there is no time except now to start doing this work. To start identifying. Go ahead, Kira. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And whether you have done it or haven't done it, this is the time. You know, this is the time. Use every minute going up to spring equinox to focus on what are you creating?
Yeah. And as you mentioned, you know, spring equinox is actually the new year. It's the new year of the Zodiac, it's the new year of the horoscope. I mean, it's really kind of like Chinese New Year is the Chinese horoscope New Year. This is our Occidental horoscope New Year. And so this is the real new year of the rebirth energy. So we've gone now from the death of the long night of winter into the rebirth and transformation of spring. And this is when, from Greek and Roman mythology, Proserpine or Persephone has come back from Hades, where she spends her 6 months, and her mother has now replanted the earth in celebration of that, versus when she goes back to Hades to spend her 6 months down there, her mother grieves and the earth withers and dies. So we are now in the rebirth phase. This is our time for rebirthing our life. This is our time for rebirthing energy based on everything that's occurring. So we've got the Uranus-Pluto square. As I mentioned also in the first hour, we have Venus going into Taurus, which is a much more grounding energy, much more sensual energy, much more self-care energy for that thing. So it supports that self-love aspect. Then we're going to go into the eclipse, and I'll talk more about that later in the week, but followed by the spring equinox. This is our rebirth. So the question is, just like you were saying, you didn't do your intention and vision board earlier in the year. whether that was a right thing or a wrong thing is moot, and not that you said it, but you did it now. And that's what we really need to get across to everybody is you have to do it now.
Do it now.
Yeah. Because it's important that we take that moment, that time, use that energy now to get ourselves moving from where we are. You know, I pulled a card too. I pulled several cards as I always do. But I pulled one card when you were talking earlier, Kira, because I said I want a card for letting the listeners know what is the most important message for them to take right now in this moment, at least from my perspective when I pulled it. And I pulled the Ace of Clouds in the Osho Zen Tarot, which is the clouds is about your mind. It's about that mental activity. And just about every card of clouds, people always say, can I pick another? Can I turn this one back in? Because they don't like them because it's going to that, whether it's guilt or frustration or morality or something. It's going to all of these things imposed on us by the mind, except the Ace of Clouds. The Ace of Clouds shows kind of a Buddha figure with its third eye lit in the clouds of the universe, in the totality of all. And it's called consciousness. And it's the best use of our minds going forward. The best use of our minds going forward is not by directing, but it's by receiving and executing based on our higher guidance, our intuition, our inner wisdom, our Akashic records, our divine guidance, our God-given direction, whatever your choice of words are. But the end of the day is this is your time to shed your skin and not talk yourself into keeping your skin the way it is, the colors it is, the shape it is. This is the time for us to change. All of us. All of us. But I have no passion around this. I just think that there's no better time for any of us to change or to do anything. And we had hoped to play. I'm going to get it set up for tomorrow because it's still going to be Jermaine. But I want, for those of you who are familiar with the Beatles music, go ahead and get Revolution and play it out. I want a revolution. That's what Uranus and Pluto are telling us right now. It's time for a revolution. All revolutions start internally inside you. They become you and they are you. So the revolution is not for each and every one of us to go and tear down the government. The revolution is for each and every one of us to rebuild and reconstruct and tear down the things holding us back in our life. Create a rebellion within your own life. Create a life that serves you. Create a life that embraces you. Create a life that honors you. And then share that service, that honor, and that love with everyone around you once you've given it to yourself.
And I think Solazar is going to try one more time.
Oh,
no, he just wants me to talk. Okay. So this is the time that force of change is pushing us. So let's use this as an opportunity, as a momentum to catapult ourselves into the new year, into the direction that we want to go, into the acceleration, because the creative cycle is going to go really fast and the manifesting cycle is going to go really fast this year. So use all of that propulsion, all of that energy that Solazar talked about around the square. There's a lot of energy that builds up in that square because of the tension between the forces. Use that, harness all of that to catapult yourself in the direction that you want to go. And then if we talk about, Solazar will talk about the other astrological aspects as we go through the week. And we did talk about spring equinox being toward the tail end of the week. And we wanted to remind people that at the Circle of Light this coming Friday, there's going to be a special channeling for the Councils of the Seventh Awakening. And that is going to be the doors open at 7 o'clock. The event starts at 7:30, and the councils are going to focus on this opportunity of the equinox and the all the opportunities that are around us right now. That is really just amazing passage that we're going through that's unprecedented in our lifetime. So this is going to be a great event. They'll be playing the symphonic gongs and doing a gong activation. And for those of you who haven't experienced the gongs, they really are an amazing instrument to go through and use the sound to break through any of those things that we were talking about, those patterns and those ruts that we're stuck in, at the any locks and blocks, any physical disruption that's causing pain. It can work through all those things. So it's a really way to blast through and get to that state of consciousness that Salazar was talking about when he picked the Buddha card of consciousness. So come on out on Friday night to Circle of Light and join us. It's going to be a great evening. It's at 490 Aguajito Road, off the Highway 1 Pebble Beach exit. And again, the doors open at 7 o'clock.
And actually, Kira, you had wanted to kind of close out tonight with a creativity meditation. So why don't we go ahead and start that? And So I want to let everybody know to go ahead and get comfortable if you're not already sitting down comfortably. If you're listening to this in your car, on your iPhone or iPad, just give us your intention, not your focus. Please focus on your driving. And find a comfortable chair, couch, or bed. Do not lie down. Sit forward on the edge of your chair, couch, or bed. Sit far enough forward so that you have some weight on your feet. Allow your hands to rest loosely on your lap. Keep your hands loose. Imagine a weight attached to your tailbone, kind of anchoring you to your seat. Allow your shoulders to relax. Breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. As you inhale, allow your abdomen to expand gently. Breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth. As you breathe, listen to the sound of my voice. Take a long, deep breath. Say out loud, I give myself permission to meditate for 5 minutes. Breathe in. Warm, relaxing, and peaceful. Each breath out releases your worries, your cares, your stress. Breathe in. Breathe out. As you breathe in, know it's possible to relax completely. Close your eyes. Breathe in. Breathe out. With each breath, know that it's possible to relax so completely that the thought of opening your eyes is more effort than you're willing to expend. As your eyes relax, your body relaxes. Continue to breathe in through your nose, out through your mouth, as Kira guides you on this meditation.
And imagine yourself now in a beautiful place, by the banks of a river, in a clearing in the trees, or by the ocean. Any place that's beautiful and serene and special for you. Know that this is your place. You can come here anytime. And look around you now. Feel the breeze on your skin. Feel the sunlight. And walk over now to a clearing that's available to you. And lay down now, looking up at the sky, seeing the light shimmer across the sky, seeing the prana, seeing the little light clouds moving gently in the wind. And feel underneath you now the earth supporting you. Just relax deeply into the earth. And connect now with the Mother, with Gaia. Know that you are loved and supported and nourished and nurtured. Just feel that support.
Feel that love. Connect with Lady Virgo and Lord Pallur, guardians of the earth. And open your heart now and breathe in that energy. And connect now with the sun and feel that power of the warmth in the sun infusing every cell. And as you feel that energy, just breathe it into every cell and into your heart. And in your heart now, focus on one thing that you desire, one seed that you want to plant, one dream that you are willing to bring to fruition in this world. And surround it with that energy of your heart. Allow it to be infused by the mother. Allowing it to be infused by the sun. And offer it up now. Place it on one of those clouds. And allow it to be sent out into the universe, fueled by love. And with each puff of the wind, allow it to go free and send the love of your heart. And know that you can come back here anytime you want to work on other dreams and other seeds.